Good morning, Mr. Healy.
Good morning, Jeff.
Let me ask you about this.
What's the fine? Did you hear the amount?
It was 10 grand?
I don't know.
10 grand.
10 grand.
10 grand.
Can I see the check that he actually wrote?
Well, he's never going to write the check. Of course, the team's going to write it. But as a lot of people are pointing out, I mean, it points a pretty clear finger, I think, in this instance as to responsibility for the matter, don't you think?
Well, here's what I think. If I was on the other bench, what would the check have been that I wrote if I would have put, yeah, I know that you're not going to beat up John Scott. He's a big guy. So, okay, we have one sacrificial lamb that's going to have to handle him. The linesman will get in right away. What I would have done, and this may be barbaric, is I would have beat the snot out of the other four guys that had to go on the ice with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then what would that check have been for Randy Carlyle? I mean, we had games when I was with the Los Angeles Kings, and we weren't good. We had Jay Wells and Larry Playfair and J.P. Kelly and Tiger Williams and Ken Baumgartner. We had probably the toughest team in the world. And I can't tell you how many times Larry Playfair played wing or Ken Baumgartner played center.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Adder.
Sure.
We're going to send a message to our team. Well, we're going to send one back bigger and better. So I guess there's accountability for everybody here, and I know emotions are high, and I know the Buffalo Sabres were a team that everyone looked at as a bunch of pansies a couple of years ago because no one responded when Lucic hit Miller. But, you know, it's good that they're making other people accountable other than the players.
Well, and that's my point here, and I'm not going to lay it all at the feet of the coaches, but I mean, Glenn, you've been around hockey long enough. Coaches control ice time. And Randy Carlyle admits he uses power play time as a reward, which you should do. But ultimately, that also impacts a player's bottom line. That impacts his stats. That impacts how much money he makes. And yet, it's always amazed me. I mean, general managers have been hammered for guys they bring in, for rules changes. I mean, the NHL officials get hammered. The players, we hammer the players almost on a daily basis. The one group that has always kind of just squeezed through the cracks has been the coaches.
Well, you do remember I played for Mike Keenan, right?
So, yes. Yeah well.
I'm just over it now. The intervention's done, and I've had my treatment. I'm good. And especially that type of player, you know, a lot of the talk and the rules has been to eliminate the fighter, eliminate fighting. You know, even something as simple as the rule that they put in this year, you know, is going to eliminate some fights based on the fact you got a bad hand. Do I really want to punch a helmet? Do I really want to punch a visor?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, everyone's wearing visors now. So, you know, you're going to see a much change of landscape in 10 years than you see today. And so, you know, these guys definitely, when they have a role to fill, and I love the role that they fill, and the guys that I played with over my 16 years in the NHL, they were fantastic at doing it, and they defended nothing but other people, not themselves. You know, they start to sense that, wow, I'm getting pushed out here. So when I get a chance, I'm going to make the best chance of it. And Ryan, hey, John Scott, 4 minutes a game, and you know, hardly plays.
Right.
And once February comes, he's done. There's no more role for him as you make your playoff push.
Yeah, and you know, again, I don't necessarily enjoy fighting in hockey, but it's part of the game. I get that. Two guys, high speed collide. I mean, you're going to have reaction. There's going to be fights. I think most of it's the stage stuff that's just kind of tiresome more than anything else. And I think that's what the NHL is really focusing on, isn't it? Here, premeditated.
You know, they want to clean the game up too. You know, hey, I look back to the mid 80s when I first started, and you know, there were bench brawls, and my first exhibition game we finished the game with three players on each bench against Vancouver, and I thought as a college player, I thought, I signed up for this? Really? It's much different now. I mean, they're looking at hits at, you know, frames per millisecond, and was that an elbow? Did it touch his jaw? Back in the day, games weren't even on television. It was, you know, Hudson Bay rules. You know, the wild, wild west. It's much different today.
I did want to ask you, Glenn, Phil Kessel gets suspended for the rest of the preseason, which is...
Congratulations!
Yeah, and that's what Nick Kiprios said. Suspension penalty, that's a reward. I mean, there are guys who try to not have to play in the preseason. But what kind of concerns me here a little bit is the fact that in suspending Phil Kessel, the league cited the incidents in the game against Philadelphia, which game in Toronto, where he did, on at least two occasions, swing his stick at Philadelphia players. And I'm wondering, is this a sign, do you think, that the NHL office has put Phil Kessel on watch? You know, keep the stick down, watch the stick work?
Well, this isn't a Phil Kessel issue. This is what the league does all the time.
All right.
And you know, before Sean Avery was fined for his choice two words, when I was at the Players Association, we had numerous conversations about Sean Avery's conduct. And so he was on the radar well before he was off the radar and out of the league. And I think that's what they would look at with all players. They want the game to be clean. Hey, there's going to be hockey hits that go bad. But the stick work is something that they're not going to tolerate. And I would have done the same thing if I was Phil. In fact, I would have probably aimed a little higher. But that being said, they're going to eliminate that, and they're going to watch players and watch every hit. And if you're a hit-to-hurt type player and you launch yourself at players like missiles or you use your stick in a careless manner, then they're going to put you on their radar, and you're going to pay the price. And so 7 days or 6 days before the Buffalo incident, there's no doubt that that was on their radar, and when they see it continuing, they're going to put a clear stop to it, although he has won the lottery.
Yeah, he has indeed. Glenn Healy joins us in the Jeff Blair Show. What did you make of David Clarkson going over the boards?
Love David. Great kid. Mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to cost him a ton of money. It's going to, you know, that's the cost of about five Porsches leaving the bench. It's a lot of money. You could have taken a Porsche over and probably hit him, and it would have done more damage. It happens. It's the heat of battle. You see your teammate. He's your leading scorer. He's your best player. He's your key guy. And you got a guy 6'8" attacking him. David should have done it 10 years earlier. That's all. But I love the passion in him, but it was a clear mistake. There were other ways to get retribution for that incident if you were clearly offended by it. And that probably wasn't the best choice. And I don't think anybody in the hockey world could disagree with that.